Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition and a new week of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflections. And if you were with us this past Sunday, had a wonderful service, great focus on the Lord, and this particular text of Scripture, we celebrated the Lord's table, and this passage was just perfectly fitted by God in His providence for this Sunday. So I'm really looking forward to kind of breaking down the text of Scripture that we looked at, and to kind of relate it to what's going on historically in our church, to look at what's going on in the text in front of us. And then we're not going to celebrate the Lord's table, obviously, throughout the week. But that was really at the foreground of what, or forefront of what we were doing as well, because we celebrated the Lord's table on Sunday. So if you have a Bible, let's turn together to Psalm 30, and we're going to read through the psalm together, and then I want to kind of set the tone for what we will discuss this week. And really doing it, looking at the significance of this past Sunday. Psalm 30, verse number 1. And by the way, this is a psalm and a song at the dedication of the house of David. It says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, unto the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Now, when we read through this psalm, my initial impression of the psalm when I read through it as I began to study the passage was that it was really about David talking about the challenges of life and how God preserved him. And indeed, that is a major factor in this. But then when you look at the opening of the psalm, it says that it is a psalm and a song at the dedication of the house of David. This is a very triumphant moment in David's life. And as we get into the psalm, we're going to talk about some of the history about what's going on. But really, more than anything, it's about God's faithfulness and God's kindness and his grace and how he sustained him. And that really reminds me of some of the significance of this past Sunday. You may not realize this if you're not a part of our church family and you're following these, but for those who are in our Sunday service and those who are a part of our church and have maybe been in our church many years, you'll realize that this past Sunday was the 5-year anniversary of our family moving from Cape Coast, Ghana, West Africa, and coming to Anchor Baptist Church and ultimately becoming pastor and working through lots and lots of different challenges and blessings. And so this past Sunday was a significant Sunday for us because it was a moment to just reflect on all that the Lord has given us and brought us through and all that there is really to celebrate of God's goodness. It was 5 years ago on this past Saturday when our family got on an airplane and flew from Accra through Portugal and back to the United States. And then ultimately on that Saturday, which was the first Sunday of the month of May 2018, we came back to Anchor. Anchor is such a special church to us because this is the church where my wife and I moved, first got married, moved up here, and it's the first place that we worked. This was our sending church. We went and we worked in Cape Coast, Ghana, and it was a tremendous honor for us to be called back here to work in this church and for me to be able to pastor the church. And the timing of how God put all those things together is a really remarkable story. We were able to turn over the church in Cape Coast to national leadership. Eric and Michael have been working together, pastoring that church, and such a dear, dear church. We love the people there in Cape Coast. In fact, 24 hours before we got on a plane and flew back to the States, Eric's wife Rita gave birth to their second child. So this was a really significant, and it was a very emotional first Sunday in our church back in the United States here. And I reflected back on the passage of scripture that I preached on that very first Sunday that we were back in the States. And it was Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. And I remember, as I thought about the text that I was preaching on, I felt like that was the passage that I most wanted to leave the church in Ghana with. And I wanted to start with our new ministry focus here in Maryland. I wanted that passage of scripture to be what I left the church in Ghana with and what I reminded the church here of when we started at that time. And it was such a significant passage. In fact, I can remember back, I looked back over my notes, and there were four things that we focused in on. We focused on the fact that Christ is the foundation of the church. His person and work, the gospel, is the centerpiece of the Christian faith, and it is the rock that the church is built upon. And in Matthew 16:18, it says, upon this rock, Peter's statement about who Christ was, I will build my church. We looked at a second truth that was very significant, and that is that it is Christ who is the builder of the church, not the pastor, not the congregation, not the deacons. It is Christ and Christ alone who ultimately builds the church. And now he does it through the means of the preaching of his word and through the proclamation of the gospel through the congregation. It's true that he does that, but he, not they, have the power to build the church. And so in verse 17, it says, I will build my church. And that I will build is a promise. He promises that the church upon which the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel is built upon is a church that he is going to build. The third thing that we focused in on is the fact that he owns the church. The church is not owned by the people. The church is not owned by the deacons or by the trustees, if a church has trustees. It's not owned by the pastor or by a pastor or the pastoral staff. It's owned by Christ. The church belongs to him. And in verse 18, he says, I will build my church. It's his personal church. And then the last detail that we emphasized on that first Sunday, my last Sunday in Ghana, my first Sunday here at the church in Maryland, is that he is victorious. Christ will prevail. And in verse 18, he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against what he is doing. And so we looked at that passage, and I preached that text believing it by faith. It is true. It is scripture. But I have good news to share with you, and that is that we have seen the evidence of those truths played out, not just in our church here in Maryland, but in the church in Cape Coast as well. Here we are 5 years later, and both churches are thriving and growing and experiencing God's blessings. And those blessings and the thriving of the church is not so much a testimony to an individual or individuals within the congregation. It is a testimony to the truthfulness of that passage of scripture, Matthew 16. Christ is the foundation. Christ is the builder. Christ owns the church. He is victorious. The fact is that these churches will not be where we are today if it wasn't for Christ being the foundation, the builder, the owner, and the victor. Every single one of us who is a part of these churches, whether it's pastors, deacons, church members, heads of households, we are fallible people. We sin, and we sin against one another, and we need forgiveness, and we need cleansing, and we need strength and encouragement when we're weary. We need wisdom when we have tough decisions. Sometimes we make the wrong decisions, but God's work endures. Both churches thrive today as a result of his work. And I also mentioned, though, that work has not been without ups and downs. I mean, think about it, for instance, in our church here. We have seen many dear friends over the last 5 years who have passed away. In fact, this past weekend, we had a funeral for one of our church members, someone who has been a part of our church for decades of time, someone who is dearly loved. We've had over 20 funerals that have been done in the last 5 years in our church. We've had babies born. We've had families who have gone through the challenges of miscarriage and the hardship of losing a child. We've had families that have had children who've had severe health issues, that they have needed the Lord's hands to intervene and to help them to endure. We've seen children graduate from high school, go into college, get ready to graduate from college. We've had people in our church get married. We've seen so many blessings, high points, and discouraging low points. But that's the way that church life is. Through all the ups and the downs, what do we see? That God is faithful, and He's consistent, and He continues to do His work. God is the one who builds and owns and is victorious in the work of the church. He is the centerpiece. He is the foundation. The gospel is everything in the church. And so what I'd like to do as we look at this passage of Scripture this week is I'd like us to remember that really what we are living through historically, and by the way, in the history of the church, a five-year period is a very small thing, to be very honest. But we do have enough time to examine how God has demonstrated His faithfulness. Every blessing that we have enjoyed as a church, as a body, and as individuals within that church, every blessing is a free gift of God's grace. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. It's all of His hands. All the glory belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to any one of us. It belongs to Him and Him alone. Every hardship that we have been able to endure, every challenge that we have faced, every time where we were in great desperation and we needed wisdom and we sought the Lord for that wisdom, all of the grace that was daily supplied and all the wisdom that was daily supplied, it is a testimony to His guiding hand. Every conversion, every person that has placed their faith in Christ, every baptism, every mark of spiritual growth and maturity, all of those situations, they are testimonies to God's power, God's kindness, His love, His mercy, His compassion, all of it. And so this week, as we look at the 30th Psalm, I hope that this will be the heart that we take to it, to recognize that as David's house is now finished, and as he sings a song of praise to God, this is the way he's approaching it. He is approaching it as one who recognizes it is the hand of the Lord that alone has sustained us and brought us to this moment. This week, as we look at the 30th Psalm, I hope that you will be richly blessed and encouraged by it. I hope that the time we spend here will encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Have a blessed Monday morning, and Lord willing, we will come again and look at this on Tuesday. Bye now.